plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast.
Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's episode, I am diving into the topic of dating yourself first. If this topic interested you when you saw the title of this episode, it's probably because you are curious about what the practices could look like in dating yourself first. Or maybe you are someone that struggles with a little bit of self-confidence or a little bit of feeling at peace within yourself or just simply feeling good being completely on your own. And even if you have some of this, it doesn't mean that you are completely not confident in yourself or you don't have elements of peace within yourself, but maybe you recognize just by reading the title that part of you still struggles with it a little bit. And that is normal. For me, when I was thinking about this topic, I realized that I went through this phase at an earlier stage of my life, for better or worse. I wouldn't say worse, but it was a lot to take on at the age of 20, and I didn't really have an alternative. I still remember vividly. I can visualize where I was when I was sad. I could still visualize where I was when I started to cry. And as I started to pick myself up and build the foundation of Emily brick by brick. And to be honest with you, looking back and just observing my life and who I've seen throughout my years in terms of like examples, I will be honest, I think that this is something I've seen in women that I grew up around, and that could include family members, that could include just a little bit of from a cultural perspective. What I grew up seeing, now I'm obviously going to add to that I grew up in American culture where just dynamics are different. And of course, my heritage is predominantly Vietnamese and Asian culture. And I will say that women, especially back then from older generations, they didn't have, you know, this philosophy on self-love and feeling more confident in themselves, especially for women. And I think this might be just across the board too, but I can at least focus more on my personal experience with my heritage and also the difference in my heritage and my parents and where they grew up, and then also myself, my individual experience, and also where I grew up, which happened to be in a small town in America. I think because I grew up seeing this struggle of self-confidence and a level of healthy independence in oneself as a woman, I think I was lucky to have that pivotal point at the age of 20 to kind of recognize that as well and think to myself, okay, what is Emily going to do differently? And for all I know, I could have been the one that broke the cycle for women in my lineage. It is possible that this was a cycle that they struggled with, you know, like sometimes that crosses my mind, and maybe that crosses your mind too for you as a person. But kind of moving into my next point, I've thought about, what does self-love mean to me? Because I think it can look and feel different to each person. But the way I would describe self-love to me is loving yourself at a level where you pursue things, people, and places that interest you at your core. And I emphasize you because it's important to separate whatever it is that you pursue in your own life, that it is separate from your family's interest for you, your friend's interest for you, your romantic partner's interest for you, etc. Because self-love is pursuing the things that matter to you and your willingness to explore these interests. So that's how I would verbalize it in my own experience and my own perspective. And kind of like I alluded to earlier, how did I get to this point? Well, I went through my very first breakup, my very first heartbreak at the age of 20. And in that process, I realized I did not have self-love or confidence being on my own. And because of that, I had no other choice but to, well, I guess I probably had other choices, but I chose the long, harder route, so to speak, at the time. Harder because this is me building for longevity versus doing things to numb the pain. So I could have gone to fraternity parties. I could have just indulged in what a normal junior year college girl would do. And instead, I worked on myself brick by brick. I started to lay down the foundation of Emily. I started to go and do things for myself again. I took day trips to different places in Southern California completely on my own. I would go out to dinner by myself. The first time I went to dinner by myself, I was 20 years old. And I remember that because it was like 2 months before I was turning 21. And I FaceTimed one of my high school best friends at the time. And I FaceTimed her and I'm like, dude, like, should I like order a glass of wine? I don't, you know, but I'm not 21, right? And she's like, yeah, definitely do it. You know, the odds of someone under the age of 21 dining out by themselves is really low. So they're probably not going to ask for your ID. So that was the case. And obviously, probably not the best thing to say out loud, but I'm opening in a very candid way, just that, you know, I remember doing these things to help rebuild Emily at the self level.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
And I think it's important to start there when we're talking about self-love. Self-love shows up in different ways, but I think the most loving thing you can do for yourself as an individual is to do things and be around people and travel to places, like whatever it is, like live a life that feels really connected to who you are and what you want to feel in your life. And that's why I'm so grateful to look back when I was starting to rebuild Emily and the foundation of Emily. That's how I called it at the time. Like, that's like when you think of the foundation of a house, I was thinking, what is the foundation of Emily? And rebuilding brick by brick. I started to skate more at the time when I was going through this breakup. And by the way, guys, this was like 7 years ago. So it is interesting to still think about it and relive it in my head sometimes. But that is how pivotal and impactful this time of my life was. And I also started to travel a little bit. I started to like take day trips to San Diego. I started to go to cafes and juiceries and dinners by myself, right? Like I did all of those things. And then I remember, I think on the career side, I was still in school, but I started to invest my energy into building up my business, Elite Skatewear, which was my first business. And at the time, it was predominantly on eBay. This was an era, so we're talking like back in, I mean, early like 2010 era through, I want to say, I mean, even before 2010, but I was like young when I started on eBay, like, and because of the internet and stuff, but pre-Shopify, or maybe this was around like when Shopify was starting to get better and better and bigger, I was predominantly on eBay selling these custom figure skating dresses. And around 2017, during this breakup period, I decided that I was going to stop waiting for someone else to help me make a website and list these photos and like customize and create like a system for people to check out. I just decided to spend my free time on that. And I remember what shifted for me is when I had a goal, that's when I started to feel a difference in myself. I've alluded to this in other podcast episodes before, but when you have a goal and something you're working towards, you start to shift your focus from whatever your problem is in your life and the thing that's creating those feelings of dread and sadness and the lower frequency emotions, which we all will experience and have experienced in life, right? What took me out of that was putting my focus on this new goal, which was to build and expand my business. I wanted to expand on the e-commerce side, and I wanted to expand with getting my skating dresses into stores, which in the skating world, it was primarily in pro shops and having these dresses. And at the time, I was learning how to price them for wholesale and how to do these orders. And so I was really new to all of this, and I was just putting my energy and my time in learning how to do this. And I got really excited as I saw my business start to grow. And I got really excited just earning money for myself and having money to pay my own, you know, just for my own things. Like that was a really rewarding feeling. And that plus my own personal development that I was working on, and I was definitely tapping into stoicism and all of those good things. And I think the combination of the two really put me on a different track for self-love and self-confidence and feeling at peace within myself. And it just takes time, you know. Over the years, with that as a foundation, I was able to expand and explore even more. That's why I've done solo trips. And by the way, I actually want to touch on that too. I remember I used to get like weird comments about the fact that I have traveled solo. I mean, I've been told that from a guy, like, you know, just his lack of comfort in the fact that I've solo traveled, both past tense and present tense. I've been told by a family member that, you know, why do you go do this by yourself, you know? And I'll put it this way. I think I was able to not let it get to my head because I realized a few different things depending on who was saying it. But a person saying something negative about a positive experience for me says a lot about them. And when it came to like family members, for example, I knew that it came from their limiting beliefs around solo travel. It came from their lack of experience of being able to be at peace and in solitude on their own, which is something I just was able to step back and be like, you know, I have a lot of sympathy and empathy that this is not a development level that you have reached or will probably never reach, you know. And I don't say that negatively, I say that just more as a matter of fact. And when it came to, you know, guys I've dated where they would make comments about my solo traveling or my experience with it, you know, I realized like I can't let people try to bring me down because of their insecurities or because of, I don't know, like their lack of comfort in the fact that I have been able to have the means to travel a little bit, even completely on my own. You know, like the things that have brought you joy and empowerment, if someone is trying to bring you down for that, that should just be a very clear indicator of like what that is. You know what I mean? So I just thought I would say that because I know I talk about solo travel a lot, and I want to reiterate that I don't talk about solo travel from a lens of, oh, I only want to solo travel. That's actually not the case at all. I would love to just travel, you know, with my friends or with someone, you know, like who can I can share the experience with. But if I am not able to line up the timing, or if I'm waiting for a year or two for someone just to like come with me and it's not happening, I think that's where I'm saying coming back to self-love. You have to look out for yourself at some point, you know? I mean, obviously, there's a give and take sometimes. You don't want to be overly selfish and you don't want to just solely put yourself first, especially when it comes to certain dynamics where you have to consider another person or other people. But there is a threshold, right? Like there is a certain amount of time where it's like, okay, this is waiting too much, and this is where you're putting your life on pause. I remember I felt that when it came to the business, and I was trying to wait for someone to help me make a website and all this stuff. And I realized, like, why am I waiting when I can do it myself? And I was at that point, I had waited for like 2 or 3 years, which is really silly, right? But I think I had this limiting belief that was probably put on me by family, in all transparency. And it was a limiting belief that I was, you know, quite young. I wasn't, you know, I couldn't do this by myself yet. I should wait for, you know, it was someone within the family to like help me. But obviously, like the more you wait for someone to like do something or make something happen for you, you know, that's on you. That's your fault, right? So I took ownership. I took my life in my own hands. And I was like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. And I'm going to make this website. I'm going to do it. So let's talk about actual practices and ideas for you when it comes to dating yourself and just pouring love into yourself and pouring into you. In my words, I'd say, what is it going to be that's going to feel like I'm pouring into Emily? So one area you can think of are hobbies. I think this is an obvious one, but I look around at friends or mutual friends of friends or peers, whoever, and I'll tell you that very few people I know actually have hobbies that are solely for them. And when I talk about hobbies, I mean, let's say you're curious about pickleball. Are you actually putting yourself out there and going into like a beginner's pickleball class or a beginner's pickleball league, or maybe it's tennis? Maybe it's soccer, a sports league. Maybe it's a sport you used to play. You know, you didn't play competitively, but you enjoy it. There's adult leagues for that everywhere you live. Like it exists out there, right? So how many of you listening right now actually do something that's like a physical sport that you used to do? Even for my girls out there who did ballet, for example, do you know how fun it would? I mean, I would do this if I had a lot of time on my hands. I just have to limit myself because I'm doing tennis and skating and I'm still teaching now off season. And, you know, I have my podcast and I have my business and I've got so much going on that I can't do all the hobbies in the world. But do I do pickleball once in a while? Definitely. I do tennis 2 to 3 times a week. I do a lot of things, right? But I'm telling you guys, pick one thing. And now maybe it's not sports. It could be music. You could take weekly guitar lessons, or maybe you could learn how to DJ or mix, something that I was doing recently. You could learn, you know, perfect your singing or get back into violin or piano, right? Like I have a close friend that takes weekly lessons and she does like guitar every other week and then she does singing every other week. And I think it's so cool that she has these hobbies that are just for her. And she just does it because that's where she wants to spend her disposable income, and she's really mindful with her time and her energy. And like, it inspires me, even though, yeah, I do a lot of stuff, like just having one friend that tells me about some interesting stuff that they do in their free time still pushes me. And she listens to this podcast. So shout out to you, girl. Another idea is doing solo dates wherever you live. So I personally would recommend to pick a day each week, like maybe a consistent day. It could be every Sunday. It could be every Tuesday. Who knows? Where you just go and enjoy yourself. Maybe it's a mixture of shopping, going to the cafe, reading a book, going to your favorite bookstore, laying out by the park now that the weather is warmer. Whatever it is, find a way to like take yourself on a date. Like for me, an idea that I've just randomly thought of, like maybe I'll go lay out by the park, bring my favorite book and my blanket, and I don't know, bring my own snacks and stuff, and just like lay out for like 2 hours, you know, in the afternoon over the weekend. I don't know, like that would be my own solo date, right? And then maybe I would go shopping somewhere on like the Upper West Side, like in New York. I don't know. That's just what I would do if I was like randomly bored and I wanted to take myself out. And it's one of my favorite things about New York is that I can take myself out whenever and wherever I want, which I love. Like if I want to go see Broadway, which, or like the Met Opera, which I've done before, I've gone by myself before, I'll just go and do it. You don't have to wait for other people. And by the way, you guys, just like a side note, if you go and do these things by yourself, I promise you, this is so true. When you go to these things by yourself, you are just automatically more interesting and people will want to talk to you. And I'm not saying like this is something you should do for that reason, but if you're nervous about like being out there by yourself, I'll tell you from personal experience, whether I was eating out by myself or I went to see the Met Opera, like it doesn't matter. People always are curious, like what I'm doing, why I'm there by myself, or what brought me there, you know, and it always sparks a fun conversation. So don't be afraid. There's honestly usually a lot of people that would admire you for doing that on your own, or maybe they're there by themselves too and you make a new friend, you know. Another dating yourself idea that I love, and I started doing this over the past probably 2 years, maybe three actually, but cooking a nice meal at home and like decorating home in a cozy way and just making it so romantic and cute and cozy. I really love doing this, and this also made me more excited about cooking. And the only thing I don't love about cooking is the cleaning up, and especially when you're cooking for one person. Yeah, it's definitely a lot, but it is fun. It's just very tedious and timely. So I typically have to do it on a night where I have more time to, you know, cook, clean and everything. Another idea is just, I've talked about it before, traveling to a city or place you've always been curious about, but had no one to go with. So this is where going solo, and this is probably one of the higher level ones. So obviously you want to start with some easier ideas first. And that's what I did over the, you know, in my early 20s. And then I didn't start traveling solo. I think my first solo trip was when I was 21. I went to Portland, Oregon, but onwards, I started to just, you know, naturally do things on my own because, you know, you graduate college, life happens. And my first solo international trip was when I was 25, and I went to Paris and Milan, and that was just beautiful. I went for 8 days. It was a birthday treat to myself, even though I went like 2 months later, but I had a fabulous experience, and I highly recommend, like, you know, you can't keep waiting for people to come along the ride. Sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and go and stop putting your life on pause. Because if you're putting your life on pause, how can you say you really love yourself and you're pouring into yourself, right? You gotta look out for you. And the last one, this one is not solo related, but it is still about dating yourself, which is creating girl dates for you and your friends. So this one obviously takes initiative. This one I will admit that I am pretty good at, because recently I went to do afternoon tea with two of my best girlfriends in New York, and I kind of took initiative on that. I'm like, hey guys, let's do something this weekend. And we threw out ideas, and then we landed on, all right, let's do Sunday afternoon tea at this spot because we've never been. So sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's simply, hey, girls, I want to host a cooking night at my place. Let me know what day of the week works for you. And we have a group chat and we talk about it and then we do it, you know? And I'll be honest, I'm typically initiating this. And the great thing about my friends is that they're very, they'll respond and they'll be like, absolutely, I'm so in. And like, they're committed, you know? But I don't mind taking initiative on it because I know that life is short. I can't wait around for other people to take initiative. And also, just because I take initiative, it doesn't mean that these people don't care as much, you know? Just some people are better at taking initiative. And I have friends that also are really good at taking initiative. They'll call me, they'll text me, they'll try to make plans. And, you know, so like, it's just sometimes it's in people's nature and sometimes certain people need a nudge, need a reminder, and they're so grateful about that trait of you. You know, they're like, oh, Emily, like, thank you for reminding us, or thank you for this, because sometimes they just need that, you know? And I think girl dates, regardless if you are in a relationship or not, are so important and so healthy to maintain for yourself and to maintain as a form of loving and dating yourself, and most importantly, pouring into the foundation of who you are. I hope this episode was helpful and gave you some ideas that you can use in the future. If this was helpful, please be sure to let me know. Send me a DM. I love chatting with you guys. You can DM me on Instagram at What Fulfills You or at Emily E. Duong. And for all of the merch, especially with spring now, you can play the card game with your friends if you love deep questions. This one's going to get you guys in the deep hole. It is the What Fulfills You card game. It's focused on personal growth and meaningful conversations around that. You can find that online at whatfulfillsyou.com and you can get 10% off with the code WhatFulfillsYou10. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.